Powerful. Man. That's a message right there. Now, how in the world would you not want to follow him? I mean, my God, that's who we're serving. And we're going to talk about that today, that it's time we do it God's way. You know, we hear the old joke, Burger King, you know, that started out, everybody can pretty much do it the way you want it now, but, you know, Burger King was the original, right? We'll do it your way. Order a hamburger, don't want pickles, no pickles, don't want mustard, no mustard, don't want cheese, no cheese, we'll do it your way. Well, that's what's got us in trouble in our life, right? We've done it our way. And we figure out our way most of the time isn't the right way. The Lord put this in my heart yesterday. I wrote it down. Said that if our personal choices don't line up with God's word, they're not the right choices for our life. Now, really think about that. But here's what happens with human nature. We're so doggone rebellious. You know, we so don't want to be told nothing to do. Mark Twain said, at 14 years old, I thought my dad was the dumbest man in the world. When he was 21 years old, he said, my dad got awful smart in 7 years. It's amazing, isn't it? It's our human nature to rebel because we don't like rules. We don't like boundaries. We don't like being told what to do. We don't like anything in place. That's why folks hate people of authority, because we don't want to be told. We talk about our bosses. We talk about the church. We talk about police officers. We talk about our teachers at school. Don't like them. The reason we don't like people is because we really don't want to follow any kind of structured authority. And we all have that. We all must follow a pattern of some kind of authority in order to have anything in life worthwhile. Things are in place for a reason. This word of God we're going to read and be found in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 3. The word of God is in our lives for a reason, and it's time that we this year do it God's way. People ask me this all the time as a pastor. They ask me things about personal things. They ask, you know, you think it's wrong to drink? You know, I drink a beer. Is that wrong? You know, is it wrong that I smoke? Is it wrong that I do this? Is it wrong I smoke some weed? Is it wrong I do this? All this stuff they ask me. Well, let's go back to what the Bible says, and let's see what God's order for our lives is. Because there's things in our lives, and I'm not one of these folks, and I was raised some of this way. Some of you were raised this way. You know, I remember as a kid coming out of revival service, seeing somebody in the parking lot smoking a cigarette by their car, and looked at my mom and dad with those eyes like they're going to hell. Now, some of y'all understand that. I was raised charismatic Pentecostal, okay? And so a lot of you may not understand that. You might think, well, what? You know, but I would look at that and I would think, ooh, they're not really saved. And they're smoking a Camel. They're not saved. They're drinking a beer. They're not saved. But as we know, there's things in our lives that God gives us instructions because he's trying to help our lives. You know, I did a stat on alcohol over the weekend. There are 80,000 alcohol-related deaths a year in the United States of America. 80,000 alcohol-related deaths in America. 30% of all vehicle fatalities are alcohol-related, 30% of them. We have broken homes because of alcohol. We have lost jobs because of alcohol. We have deaths because of alcohol. So let me ask you this, before you pull the Jesus drink wine card on me, because I get it all the time. Here's what I say. Number one, you ain't Jesus. But here's what I say. The Bible is clear about the abuse of alcohol. It's clear about letting it control your life. It's clear about, the Bible says, that don't let strong drink make a mockery out of you. There's reasons there's things in place. Alcoholism, substance abuse of any kind, impairs us. It impairs our judgment. It impairs our decision. We're not thinking clearly. It puts things in our lives and obstacles that we wouldn't normally have if that wasn't there. And so this is a brand new year. So let's say, you know what? Let's do it God's way. You know, when we go on vacation, I will splurge and I will always get me usually a virgin pina colada because I love coconut. There's no alcohol in it whatsoever. I don't ever get a virgin drink in Statesville, ever. Can you guess why? Why, Tammy, I don't get a virgin drink? That's exactly right. I told him a virgin. Did I not say virgin 50 times? Anyway, y'all know what I mean. The reason I don't is because of the witness for Jesus. I could be sitting there all day at me Pablo's drinking, knocking down two or three virgin pina coladas. And then here comes Minnie walking in there. Goes back and tells Stacy. He tells Michael. The whole campus of UNC knows the pastor's a drunk. That's how that happens. Anything that causes us to lose our witness for Christ, it's important we put that in check. Another way we look at it, would you want to be doing what you're doing when Jesus came? Didn't that kind of a movie back in the 80s? Yes. Would you want to be doing it if Jesus came? That'll stop all my phone calls. Next time you want to call me about should I be doing this, think about this. Would I do it if Jesus was coming? That's probably my answer. There's things that we do on our own that get us in trouble, and God has this great word for us to help us. So let's look in Proverbs chapter 3, and let's get into Scripture this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. I've got the Amplified with me too, so I may do a couple verses out of that. But verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Why is it important that God is telling us to keep his commandments? Because he has his best interest for us. When you raise your kids, you instill in them the things that you think is the best interest for their future, whether they agree with it or not, whether they like it or not. You know, you ground them. You don't let them go to a friend's house. You take stuff away from them. You spank them. You time out them. You do whatever you need to do for their best interest. Being a parent is the hardest job in the world. Parents, can I get amen? The hardest job in the world. Yes, it is, Peyton. Yes, it very much is. The hardest job in the world. As a father or a mother teaches their children things in place, they do it for their interest. Nathan, I'm sure your parents taught you values, right? They taught you things, don't do this, don't do this, it's not good for your life. You know, whether you approve, don't like our president, one thing about President Trump, if you don't know this about his past, is you know he does not drink. He doesn't drink. He taught his kids that. And it's not even maybe a moral thing. You know what he said? He says, when you drink, you're not at your best. When you get involved in alcohol, you lessen your skills. So he doesn't drink. It's something he abstains from, according to what he's publicly talked about. There's a reason for that. Now, some of y'all have been those places to where you've seen how you acted, and it wasn't pretty. And you definitely don't want to see Jesus in that moment. So there's things in our lives that God gives us. He says, keep my commandments and don't let them depart from you. There's a reason I've got things in place. It's what's best for your life. I'm not trying to control you. I'm trying to have you live the best life you can possibly live. And this is a new year, and we can do it this year. Look what it says by keeping the commandments in verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. That word long life actually can translate into life worth living. Following God gives you life worth living. Isn't it nice to have life worth living, not just going through the motions of having to wake up and hoping you don't wake up, but actually enjoying life? This is what keeping God's word does. It gives you life worth living, and it gives you peace. Because, see, peace is always attached to doing the right thing. Something I always try to teach my kids is do it the right way. Do the right thing, because it always comes back on you. I don't care what you say. It comes back on you. If you live shady, you'll stay in the dark. That's just life. It's important that we do things the right way. We see a world that's totally upside down. I learned a song, and this is to offend none of you because I know some of you experienced this. You know I love you. This is not a judgment statement, just a fact of where we are in society. I used to sing a song when I was a kid. First comes love, then comes baby carriage. Now it's first comes sex, then comes cigarette, And then if she don't like me, she just forgets. And there's nothing else to do with this girl at all. Because I gave myself, I gave it all. I mean, you know, we've totally changed that, haven't we? There was a time. God's word is there for a reason. I know we don't like it. Church, look, we're human, okay? We're flesh and blood. We were meant to procreate, okay? We were meant to have relationships. We were meant to kiss each other if you're a boy and a girl. We were meant to love each other. We were meant to do all of those things, okay? We were created for that. But there is an order that God has because of consequences of not doing it the way God teaches us to do it. Do you know how many teen pregnancies there would be if they followed God's word? Unwed teen pregnancies. How many would there be? Zero. Zero. There is a solution. There is an answer. And there would be zero. Did you realize there have been over 10,000 abortions this year, and this is January 6th? There's already been over 10,000 abortions the first week of this year in America. You're talking about, I've got a kid, I don't want it. And you've got to understand most abortions, I'm sure, I'm not done studying on this, but I'm sure most abortions are abortions from unwed couples. So now, not only have we, you know, done it in a way that's not according to God's plan, but now that we're inconvenienced, I can't deal with this at 16 or 17, so I'll just get rid of my problem. So now we're shedding innocent blood. But Pastor, that's my right. That's my choice. That is your choice, but it's not God's choice. God's clear about some things in the Bible. We just don't want to listen because we have totally flipped the switch now. I mean, we are in such a generation of uncertainty, of unidentity. We don't even know what we are anymore. Universities now do not even want to be called a gender. There's universities now that are trying to say, I don't want to be called a Mr. or a Mrs. or a him or a her or a he or a she. I mean, let's just go back to Genesis. Can we do that? And God created he male and female. There's nowhere that says God created something and he couldn't name it. He created male and female, and we are different, and we should be proud we're different. Does Melon get on my nerves as a woman? Absolutely, but thank God she's a woman. I love my woman. Her sugar would be the same if she's a man. She's my woman. And I get on her nerves and all my shallowness and all my, you know, us men, you know, we're shallow. We don't have many layers. I still not found all Melanie's layers after 26 years of marriage. She's deep. We're different. It's okay. We're supposed to be different. God made us different. That's the plan. Don't try to break the plan. We got a generation rebelling against the plan of God. Do it God's way and watch what will happen in your life. I promise you, doing it God's way will bring a much greater peace in your life. Those of us not doing it God's way are always running. We're always hiding. We're always looking over our shoulder. We're always worried about getting caught. What a life to live. You could just have peace and say, God, I'm going to do it your way this year and trust you. Your way is the right way. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake me, but bind them about my neck. Write them upon the table of my heart. A true Christian does not serve God because they have to. They serve God because they want to. Because His word is in their heart. His love is in their heart. His grace is in their heart. His plan is in their heart. So we want to love God. Lord, I love you because I want to love you, not because I have to love you. Because, Lord, your word is inside of me, and that's who I am. I've been transformed by it. It's a living word inside of me. Don't let that truth ever forsake you. Let truth always be with you. It is that truth that does set you free. You shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now look at these next two verses. These are key verses of this chapter this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. That's what gets us in trouble, right? Right here. Gets me in trouble all the time. I let thoughts run rapid in my brain to the point I can't function some days because I'm not trusting God. I'm trusting me. I'm trusting what I can do. I'm trusting what I can fix. I'm trusting what I can think. I'm trusting what how I can resolve it. No, trust the Lord. There's something about leaning on God, surrendering to God, that gives us a liberating peace to know I'm not carrying this no more. God, it's yours. I'm going to trust you to work it out. I don't see how it's going to happen. Don't even know how it's going to happen. But I trust you, God, and I'm going to stop trying to lean on my reasoning for this. I'm going to just lean on you. The next verse says, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Acknowledge means you got to recognize. Okay, God, I recognize you. Here you are. What do you want me to do? You're God. I'm not. I can't fix it. Can't change it. But you can, so I trust you. I acknowledge, God, that you're the only way to get me to where I need to be. You're the only way. We can justify all that we want, the things we do against God's word. And we can find verses. I mean, I got people to pull out a verse on me that support any sin they're doing. You know, the Jews drank wine to try to justify their bar drinking on Saturday night. Okay, sure, that works. Okay. You know, I get that all the time. We can always try to justify it, but why are we trying to justify something that's not right? Let's do it God's way in 2019. Let's trust God and say, this year, I'm going to do it according to your pattern, God. Your word is in place for a reason, and it's for my life. We see a world that doesn't want any rules anymore. They don't want to be at all anything. And I know that a lot of things in place get on our nerves. I get it. We don't like some of the things that work. You know, the government rule, I get all that. Wearing a seatbelt, I get all that. But when it comes to spiritual things, God things, we ought to be listening to God. He's the final authority. You know, it is harder, church, to disprove there's a God than it is to prove there's a God. Look around. What makes that moon and sun just, I mean, that, you know, science preacher. I know. I got it. I know. I believe in science. I totally understand science. I still remember some of my periodical table. Sodium, Na. I think so. Anyway, I used to know a lot of them. I believe in science, okay? I believe in it. Ninth grade, physical science, remember? But there's a scientist behind the science. I mean, man. How many times we go to a doctor for surgery, we believe there's a doctor, we believe the doctor has to give us surgery, but boy, we sure are praying, God, watch over me while this doctor gives me surgery. There's a doctor over the doctor, right? There's a scientist over the science. So for those that say, well, I believe I got to live the way that I feel is right for me. Well, I'm just going to just tell you right now, that's wrong. I mean, it's wrong. Not if you're a Christian. Because if you're a Christian, you should be seeking God's counsel and God's wisdom. And if God speaks to your life that something is wrong, or do you need to change directions, or you need to stop this because this is where I want to take you, no matter how your flesh feels about it, well, I don't see that big a deal. But if God's word says it, it needs to be a big deal. Period. Whether we agree with it or not, I don't have to agree with everything God does. But I need to trust him. Lord, I trust you. And I'm going to follow you to the very end. All 12 disciples of Jesus were martyred because of their faith. They were killed. Killed because of it. Peter was crucified upside down. John the Baptist was beheaded. These disciples were martyred and killed for their faith in Christ. They weren't patty caking around. They were standing up for the truth, no matter what it cost them. The Word of God is powerful. It's real. It's for us. It's here. It's now. It's living. And this is a brand new year. And it's time we say, God, this year I'm going to do it your way because my ways have not worked. I'm in a cycle of defeat. I'm in a cycle of frustration. I'm in a cycle of fear. I'm in a cycle of addiction. I'm in a cycle of bondage. And I'm tired of it and I'm sick of it. No matter what I do, nothing works. Here's what you do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Because we serve a God who's a chain breaker. He can do it right now, this moment, today. God can set you free and God can give you a brand new life. Do it God's way. You can't hang on to the world and hang on to God. You can't hang on to the old and hang on to the new. You can't have one foot in hell and one foot in the kingdom. You can't have one foot in darkness and one foot in light. You've got to make a decision. What do I do? Where do I go? It's God or it's bust. It's God or it's nothing. I'm all in or I'm all out, but I'm tired of riding a fence that keeps me divided and separated from the peace that I need in my heart. I'm tired of that. Do it God's way. Now, we don't like this kind of preaching sometimes because it means that we've got to change some things. But the things that God wants us to change are for the better. If you go to a doctor tomorrow and he says, you've got diabetes, your sugar's running 300, you've got to do something about it, wouldn't you do all you could to change that? To try to diet, to try to lose the weight, to try to eat better, to try to save your life? We do things to improve our lives all the time. But when it comes spiritually, we make no changes sometimes. I'm going to do what my flesh feels like doing because that's what I like to do. And I know we're fighting against principalities and powers. I know we're fighting in a spiritual world. There's a whole world around us right now going on, a spiritual world that we can't see. I mean, I'm telling you, there's a whole rim that we just physically can't see. There's an active, living life rim all around us. And the devil fights us. The devil tries to keep us saying, you never change, or you don't need to change, or it's okay to keep, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. You know, I was with a guy the other day, and this guy's an older guy, and supposedly a Christian guy, and used to sing in a gospel group, and we're hanging out, and I was real disappointed in his behavior. Not saying, believe me, I'm far from perfect. But, you know, he was using curse words around me, and then he even made a very, very, used a very ugly word in a prejudiced way towards somebody else. And I'm caught back sitting there thinking, you're supposed to be a Christian. How has Christ not changed you? See, church, I believe that as Christians, we're changed. We don't just say I'm a Christian like we say I'm Republican or Democrat. If we're a Christian, it means we've been changed. That our lives should pattern and be a light to the God we say we serve. You know, your children are a reflection of the parents. Whether that's good or bad. But your children reflect you. Sometimes, like I said, it's good. Sometimes it's bad. As a Christian, which side are you on to reflect your father? Are you reflecting good? Are you reflecting poorly? Christianity is not just something we hide behind to say, you know, I'm going to get... Christianity is a relationship with Christ. And you know what relationship means? That if God speaks to you to change something or to do something differently, we listen. When Melly has a problem with me, things I'm doing, I try to listen. I don't always change. I don't intentionally not change. Sometimes I just can't change. But I do listen to her. And if she doesn't like something, one thing Melly doesn't like that I've never done, and if you do this, here's a note for Living Word. Okay? Melly, I want to help you out here. This will at least touch a group of 100 people, okay? Do not blow your nose sitting at a table in a restaurant. Y'all, if you do that, I'm telling you, when that happens, when Mammy Melon's out eating, the sailor almost comes out melon. Do not blow your nose sitting at a table when people are trying to eat. Get up, go to the restroom, and honk your honker in there. Okay? Please. There's nothing like eating chicken noodle soup here. Gross. Just use good manners. Do it the right way. Okay? I had a point to all that, right? I don't know where I was going with it. But anyway, about changing, yes. Still don't really know where I was going with that. But yeah, about changing. Let's move on. Look at verse 7. This is really speaks to our rebellion right here, doesn't it? Be not wise in your own eyes. Oh, my gosh. Be not wise. I got this, God. I know what I'm doing, JC. If I need you, I'll call. I'll send you a text. HMO, help me out. I don't know. I'll send you a text. But I'm good, God. I got this. I know what I'm doing. I can handle it. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. The word depart's a verb, which means that we get out of there. We get out of Dodge. We don't hang around it. We're not a part of it. We must make, remember when Joseph was trying to be seduced by Potiphar's wife to lie with him? Come on, Joseph, lie in bed with me. And he says, no. He says, I've been in charge of all your house. Your husband put me in charge of everything, but I can't touch you. You're not mine. He actually ran from her. You can blow your nose in church. That's okay. He ran away. To the point that her dress ripped in his hand because Joseph was departing from evil. You know, I always told my kids, and Jamie's reminded me of this since. So I always told my kids, and my mom told me that too. Nothing good happens after midnight, does it? Not normally. Nothing that you'd want Jesus seeing happens after midnight. Unless you just eating at Waffle House because you got off work or something. I'm just saying. So that's kind of really a true statement, you know? Where's I going with that? My gosh. Anyway. Oh, depart from evil. Yes, evil. Because all that evil stuff happens at night, right? That darkness, you know, all that, you know. As a former police officer, Larry, the darkness is what people like, right? They like the cover of dark. Darkness. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, doing stuff, you know, breaking in, sneaking, doing this, doing that, in the cover of darkness. Where there's no light shining upon them. It's time we stop living in the darkness and we come to the light. It's a much better life. Oh, it's a much better life to be able to walk in the light of Jesus than try to hide from him. We must depart from the evil that's around us and not be a part of it. You know, as a pastor, you're not going to see me. And look, I'm a witness and I'll talk to anybody. I really will. But I'm not going to be walking into a bar, pulling up a chair with a Michelob, trying to witness somebody. Because I'm not going to put myself in an environment that is negative for me. Well, they never may come to church. Well, we can meet on a neutral ground. Let's meet at Applebee's away from the bar. And let's talk there. But I'm not going to place myself in a situation where there's stuff around that's not positive for my life. I control that. I make that choice. You know, you can choose where you go, who you hang out with, what you do. That's all you. That's completely in your power to control. But understand that every single decision we make has a consequence. Every choice we make has a consequence. The 16-year-old that has a baby, that didn't want a baby, was because of a choice. For a few moments of pleasure, now there's a lifetime consequence. This is why God has things in place for us. He's trying to help us. This is why. God is not mad at us. God is not trying to keep us bound and controlled. You know, people tell me, so I just think religion is for those that need a crutch to live on. No, it's not. It's. Do you know we were created to worship? We were created to serve? We were created to need God. We long for God. We were created with an inward longing for God, to know that we need something more than us. We call out to Him. We cry out to Him. We need God. And we were created for that. But yet we rebel against it because we say we don't need God. But inside we know we do need God. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The Amplified says, it shall be health to your nerves and your sinews. It'll be health. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. This is, of course, talking about money. We won't stay here long because y'all get too mad. But I will make this point about this, that if we're going to do it God's way, our finance also should be done God's way. So you know what? I'm going to trust God with my finance. I'm going to trust God for my health. I'm going to trust God with my decisions. I'm going to trust God with my choices. God, I want to do it your way. And part of God's way is that we honor Him with the first fruits of our increase. You know why it is? It's not to keep a preacher up. The main reason that we give to God is we're honoring Him with faith. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm sowing a seed, trusting you that you're going to be able to take care of me. And He always does, and He always has, and He always will. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Look at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. That's a good thing. Don't despise when God checks you on something. Embrace it. Because He's doing it to help you. He's doing it to help you. When you tell your kid not to do something and they do it anyway, and you see the price they pay and the pain they go through, they just would have listened, right? They just would have listened. You're not chastising them to get on their nerves. I don't give Ashley rules and stuff to get on her nerves. I don't have these things in place. Ashley has curfew, and she has never, ever broken it, and I'm very proud of that. So thank you. You've always honored that. I give her curfews. I give her, no, you can't go here. Okay, that's okay. You go there. What time are you going to be home? You got to be home by this time. Where are you going to be at? You know, we've had talks. Don't do this. Don't do drugs. Don't drink. Don't do these things. Don't even start. Don't touch. Don't do nothing. Kid offers you a cigarette, tell him no. Be strong. Don't start. Don't do nothing. We give her those rules because it's not because I'm trying to be a Pentecostal holiness, fire and brimstone preacher, go to hell, ask you to do anything. Do any of you that smoke in here, you ain't got to raise your hands, wish you didn't smoke? Do any of you that drink in here, wish you had to start drinking? Do any of you have any substance abuse issues, wish you never tried the first substance? These things are in place. Rules are in place for a reason. And the reason me and Melanie teach Ashley these values and we talk to her and we keep her in check is because we're not trying to get on her nerves. We're not trying to, you know, pull her down. We're trying to give her the best quality of life that she can be successful. That's what God does. God has His words that we will be successful. Follow my plan. Follow my way this year. Do it. Do it the way you're supposed to do it and watch what will happen. Things in your life will turn around. It doesn't matter if you've never done it that way. You could have been a rebel for the last 30 years. Don't matter. Today's a brand new day. You can start today being different. Right now, being different. Saying, God, I don't want to do it that way no more. I'm tired of doing it that way. That way has led me to nothing but disaster. I'm ready for a brand new way. I'm ready for a brand new life. God, I'm ready for peace, man. I can't get peace in my mind. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being discouraged. I'm tired of being overwhelmed. I'm tired of being overcome. I'm tired of being in a cycle I can never get out of. God, I'm tired of it. What do? We do it God's way. The Bible in 1 Peter says, cast all your care on Him. He cares for you. He'll take care of you. God's got you. God will handle this. There won't always be a reaping season, church. There will be a season, as far as reaping the bad seed, there'll be a season where your life will turn around, you give it to God, and you'll start seeing some good seed come, some good harvest. For whom the Lord loveth, verse 12, who He loveth, He correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom He delighteth. So when God's correcting you, guess what He's doing? He's loving the heck right out of you. He's loving the heck out of you because He's correcting you. Parents that don't really love their kids, let them do what they want. I don't care what you do. Ain't my business. Do what you want. I'm tired. You ain't got no rules. Just leave me alone. You're stressing me out. Whatever. It's hard. Our children, all three of them, probably heard the word no more than the other word in their life. Right? No, 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 no. But why? No. You know, pitching a fit. Why not? No, no. Because I love you too much to say yes. You can hate me. You can be against me. You can yell. You can whatever. But I love you too much to say yes. Here's what God does. Those he loves. So, Gordon, if your high end is getting tore up by God, hallelujah, he loves you. He loves you. If you're under so much conviction you can't sleep at night, he loves you. If he's talking to you in dreams and visions, he loves you. If he's checking your inner man, letting you know, hey, why don't you do something different? He's loving you. He loves you. He chastises those that he loves because we're his children. Just like we chastise our kids because we love them. We love them. So that's why we give them rules. Here's the plan for mom and dad. It's the best plan for your life. When you get grown, do what you want. But right now, here's the plan you're going to walk in. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of wisdom, understanding, is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain of fine gold. You're a richer man walking the peace of God and you are with all the riches of the world. Everybody wants to be rich, right? Everybody thinks money's the answer. Money's not the answer. We got to have it. I know that. Not the answer to happiness. Money don't give you peace. Money fades away. Money's gone. Jobs are lost. Houses are foreclosed on. Cars wreck. Things are gone. Things happen. The thing that doesn't wreck, the thing that doesn't foreclose, the thing that doesn't run away, that doesn't run out, is Jesus. Ever. And to understand that and know you have him as your father, it's more valuable than all the possessions of this earth because they all fade away. It's amazing to see, no matter how wealthy a person is, all people, until Jesus returns, the spirit will leave their body. Their money won't hold, won't keep them alive. Their cars won't keep them alive. Their fancy houses won't keep them alive. It doesn't stop cancer. It doesn't stop accidents. It doesn't stop sickness. To know Jesus gives me peace, and I'm thankful. Look at this next verse. I love this next verse in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, right? Oh, seems right to us. Man, I don't see a thing wrong with what I'm doing, Pastor. I ain't hurting nobody. Everything's cool. I enjoy it. It helps me. It helps my pain. It helps my arthritis. Drinking 12 beers helps your arthritis. I never heard that. That's amazing. We justify it. Well, I got to have an escape. I need a vent. Yeah, we all need vents. I get that. Go to the gym and work out. That'd be a vent. Right? Go take a walk in the woods. Actually go home to your wife. Do something like that. I don't know. There's a way which seemeth right to us, but the ways are, the end ways are death. So what seems right to us may not be what's right for by God. God's got a plan for us. Let's follow his plan, not our plan. Let's not be wise in our own eyes and think this is what's best for my life because we're too rebellious to submit to what God wants. Submitting, I know, takes us losing our ego, right, and our pride to submit. Because we don't want to submit. You know, most of us that have a job, I guarantee in the back of your mind, there's days you think, I could do a better job than my boss does. Oh, yeah. Y'all think that, don't you? He's my boss. Really? I work harder than he does. Goodness, come on. Then why ain't you the boss? Oh! Why ain't you the boss? Why don't you submit and see how you became the boss? Well, he sucked up. Well, then suck up. Just saying, you want to be the boss? You got to pattern and see, you know what? I've got to submit in anything in life to get what I need in life. Submission is hard for us because we've got to let go of our pride and our ego and our thoughts and our stuff and our thing and say, God, here I am. I don't know nothing. I need you to mold me, shape me, and lead me from this day forward. Because my ways are not working. I'm stuck in a pattern I can't get out of, and I don't want to be here no more. One more scripture before we close out this morning. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Think about that. As Christians, we are to be a living sacrifice, which means there's things in our lives we should not be pertaining in because it is affecting our living sacrifice. It's affecting our light, our witness to other people. Because people are watching you if they know you're a Christian. That's okay. You're not perfect. But we should be presenting our bodies in a way to realize everywhere I go, everything I think, every step I take, everything I look at, God, I need to have you in mind that I'm a living sacrifice presenting my life to the world on behalf of you. That I may know what is acceptable and holy unto God, which is my reasonable service. In verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. It's so easy to follow the pattern of the world, right? That's why peer pressure is so high, especially middle school, high school. Peer pressure is so strong, right? Someone offers you something, you want to look cool, you don't want to be a nerd. So you take one. You do what they want you to do. You make decisions you wouldn't make on your own. That inner voice is saying, no, no, don't do that. Picture mama's face. Picture daddy's face. Picture Jesus. No, don't do that. But we give in to that peer pressure. We give in to it. I was in seventh grade at a bus stop waiting with another guy. Waiting on the bus together. He pulls out a joint, lights it up, says, you want some? I said, nah, I'm good. Thanks for the offer, though. No, I didn't say that. I said, no, I'm good. I look back on that day, and I truly think, and I know for some of y'all, it absolutely is not a big deal. But I look back at that day and think, Gordon, what if I'd have took that first hit in that driveway just a few miles from my parents' house? What that might have led my life to? What direction I might have went from there. Luckily, fortunately, the Lord gave me enough strength in that moment to look at that guy and say, no. I'm thankful for that. Choices that we make. Do it God's way. Well, how do you know it wasn't God's way to take that hit, Pastor? Because that voice inside told me no. That's how I know. The voice of God inside of me wouldn't let me do it. So I knew I shouldn't do it. If we would just listen. See, sometimes we're too busy trying to find scripture to justify our sin. What the Bible says. I can go out on Saturday night and have two or three beers. Ain't that the Bible says? But what is the voice of God saying? Listen to that voice inside. That's what's important. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, and quick, get out of your head. We can always justify things, you know? I mean, we can always justify, you know? I could go to Logan's and throw my arm around a girl and give her a big old kiss. Say, you know what? My wife ain't kissed me in 3 months. So you know what? I deserve a kiss. My head may tell me that, but my heart knows me in trouble. That's what me heart knows. Pray to God, mama don't see it, right? And I've never done that, by the way, at Logan's. Not Logan's. Yeah, well, I've heard of Pina Colada. Yeah. This is a new beginning, church, a new year. Let's examine our lives and say, you know what? God, I want to start out this year doing it your way, which means I listen to you and I obey what you're telling me. Whether I even agree with it in my head or not, that's okay. Follow the Spirit of God this morning. And say, God, I want some things in my life changed this year. I need to break away from some things that's held me back. I need to get out of some cycles that's got me stuck. I need to quit justifying that what I'm doing is okay and really listen to your voice, God, and follow that instead and trust you. God's way this time. Let's do it God's way this time. Marty, come up and play a little something. We'll just I want to pray as a church this morning. We'll do a prayer before we close out. Just pray for this new year that God will lead each of you to do it his way so that your life may be blessed. Now, understand, the message I've taught this morning has nothing to do. This is not a condemnation hell message. This is a message to try to help you fulfill your destiny and where God wants you to be. I believe in doing the right thing, no matter how hard it is. Doing the right thing. There are times we walked out of the store with something we didn't pay for. It got stuck in a bag. We turned around, went right back in, paid for it. They wouldn't know, wouldn't care. I know. Because I would be the very one that would get out there with a sticker bar, not paid for. And the law prevention would be tackling me on the parking lot on my face with handcuffs over a 40-cent candy bar. That would be my luck. So just go back in and do the right thing. When we do the right thing, God blesses it. God can't bless disobedience, but he does bless obedience. He blesses that. Let's stand together, if you would, with me. Let's pray this morning. As we start a new year, Lord, 2019, we know we made many mistakes and we'll make many more mistakes. But Lord, I pray for a refreshing spirit and attitude that we will follow you this year, Lord. That those things in our lives that we know are not really right, that we're following a pattern of our own self-will. We're following a pattern of our own self-desire. We're following a pattern of what we want to do. We're not really following your pattern, God. We're not really looking to your word, your voice, and seeking answers. We're doing what we want to do. And God, you're not going to stop that. We have free will. We have free choice. You're not going to stop what we want to do. But God, there is consequences for those actions. And you don't want that. You love us too much. You don't want us to bear the pain and the shame and the guilt. You don't want us to have to pay those prices, God. You don't want to see us enslaved to those things that we get in trouble for. You don't want to see that in our lives, God. You want to see us blessed and free with peace and joy in our lives, with overcoming power, with strength, with wisdom, with direction. That's what you desire for us. And I pray, God, you sweep your presence right now in this sanctuary and you fill every heart and every mind with a new beginning, with a new birth, God, to follow your word and do it your way. That we will stop seeking our own wisdom. We will not look ourselves to what we need to do, but we will start this year, today, looking at what you want us to do, God. What do you want us to do? What's your desire for our lives? We, God, will follow that voice because we know following that voice will lead us to that promise you have waiting on us. We thank you and we praise you and give you all glory. Let this be a new year. Let us do it your way this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship for a minute.
I don't need to rest. a fire so bright, the whole world can see. So something different, something different in me.
Keep playing a little bit, Marjorie. Before we close out, I wasn't going to do this. I just feel checked right now to do it. If anybody wants to come up here, you want to stand here, so I want to be different this year. Come up here and stand with me. So I'm going to be different this year. I do want to be changed. I want to be different. Saying, I want to be different, Lord. I'm giving you my life, but this year is different for my life. Father, we stay in your presence. We are asking you to change us. We are submitting to that, God, that we need to be changed, that we want to hear your voice this year, be directed by your steps this year, go by your word this year. No matter how we feel in our flesh, God, we want to follow you this year. We want the pattern of our lives to mirror you and what your word says. As you chastise us this year, as you love on us, as you direct us, let us not rebel against that, but let us surrender to that, submit to that, that we can walk in the fullness of the destiny that you prepared for us. For there is a future, God, that you've already established, that you're just waiting on us to walk into. You've got it prepared. It's ready. It's paid for. We're the problem. As we surrender to you, God, you're going to usher us in from this step to the next step, to the next step, until we arrive to the final place of where you have us. We thank you, God. Let us be different this year. Let us be changed this year, starting today, right now in 2019. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.